Into the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. I'm your host, Chris Raby. A Friday edition to the program, a football Friday, Halloween Eve, spooky, on October 30th, 2020. Happy to chat over the next 30, 45 minutes or so as we get ready for the weekend. And got a big show for you. Dan Katz, Barstool Big Cat, going to be with us in just a moment. We'll check in with Big Cat before another weekend and before another crazy couple of days of football action. Also, Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated will be with us to talk DFS and gambling. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the Chris Raby Show. Go to Scoops with Danny Mac wherever you listen to podcasts. Scoops with Danny Mac. Hit the subscribe and leave us a review. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at CHRABE, CHRABE. Instagram, Facebook, Scoops with Danny Mac. And you can email me, chrisscoopswithdannymac.com. All right, like I said, a big show, and we're going to dive right into it with one of our favorites from Barstool Sports. He is Dan Katz, a.k.a. Barstool Big Cat. Of course, you can hear him on Pardon My Take, hear him on Barstool Radio, Barstool Sports Advisors. He's everywhere. Big Cat, what's going on, man? I know things are probably crazy. Everyone's back at the office. Football season's in full swing. It's post-quarantine. We are moving straight ahead. Is this kind of the craziest time in a long time? Craziness at an all-time high at Barstool Sports?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is the craziest football season we've ever had. You know, we added, as a lot of people know, maybe not everyone knows, but the Penn Casino, Penn Gaming, bought a portion of Barstool back in January. So we've shifted. We have our own sportsbook app now, which has added just more work. And, you know, not complaining about that because I love gambling and I love talking about gambling, but more work and a lot of things for the football season. But I always say, I mean, busy's good. And I know that people will say that and it sounds very cliche, but I'd so much rather be, you know, running around doing a million different things, nonstop working, than sitting and wondering, you know, back like in March when there's no sports on. Oh, well, I've gotten to the end of Netflix, and now I don't know what to do with myself.
This incredible run of guests on Pardon My Take, some of the personalities you guys have had lately, like Neil deGrasse Tyson to have Matthew McConaughey and to have Ed Orgeron within a month of each other, the universe would explode if those three guys got in a room and kind of put their minds together, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, that's probably my favorite part about doing the show is getting to have a little bit of range when it comes to the guests, because at the end of the day, I think that PFT and I are very relatable in the fact that we're decently smart guys, but not the smartest. You know, I would say I'm smarter than your average bear, but I'm not some genius. So there's a lot of stuff I don't know, and I have the self-awareness to say when I don't know it. So when you talk to someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson, just asking him kind of the dumb guy questions that we all want to ask but are too embarrassed to ask, and then talking to, you know, someone like Matthew McConaughey, who's probably the coolest guy I've ever talked to, smiling ear to ear. It's just fun doing that kind of range and interacting with interesting people. And really, it all comes down to, I got to give credit to all those guests you just listed, because when it comes to like a good interview, I think that the person who's getting interviewed buying in is so much more important than people give it credit for. So yes, the questions are important and my job's, you know, like I have to do a good job to get a good interview, but if the guest is buying in, it just makes it so much easier. And all those guys bought in from the first question to the last.
I think like just McConaughey and Orgeron, especially those two guys just can't help but be themselves, right? And you obviously know Coach O so well, but just like an all-time line, McConaughey said something like, "I'm cool with nerds, but I can't stand dorks." Like, what an unbelievable line. And that's just like he truly, with every fiber of his being, he believes that, man.
Yeah, and when he explained it, because at first I was like, that makes no sense. Then he explained it. He's like, yeah, nerds are nerds. Like, you know, the nerdy guy has actually become cool – today in today's age, which is a good thing that, you know, we're some in some parts of society, we actually appreciate people who are very smart and know things. But dorks are the people who try to be everything. They try to be the jock. They try to be the nerd. They try to be this guy, that guy, and they're just not themselves. And that's what he has a problem with. And I agree with you, like Coach O. You know, he the season hasn't started great for LSU, but he's unwavering, and he just is who he is, and he knows that if he just keeps going forward, he it will eventually work. And I love people like that who have the persistence and the drive to be like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep working, and eventually things are going to fall my way.
Yeah, not to sound like philosophical, but just those guys, examples of guys who are just completely comfortable with who they are, right? Completely comfortable in their own skin, and they just don't give a damn what anyone thinks. It seems like a lot of folks that you guys are able to interview and that you guys interact with, they have these strong personalities, which probably makes them who they are. It might seem like an act sometimes. Has there ever been a guy that you thought or a guest that you thought was putting on an act, but then really genuinely you realized having a conversation with them, that was just them?
Yeah, Nick Wright, who's now I consider a friend. I was very upset at him when I thought he was putting on an act for LeBron. And,
yeah, the LeBron Jordan thing, right?
And his anti-MJ stuff. And then we had him in studio. I was like, you know what? I like this guy because there's nothing – and what you just said is a very important fact that I think gets lost today. And like you said, not to get philosophical, but people who are themselves and people who have a mindset where, of course, they can change their mind and they can be influenced, but they're not influenced to the point where they're wavering with everyone else's opinion and letting everyone else's opinion change who they are. And so – I always respect that. And Nick Wright was one of those guys who he came in, we disagreed, but I said to myself, this isn't an act. He's not doing a Skip Bayless thing where he's trolling people on purpose. He believes this. And I genuinely like appreciate that talking to people that I disagree with, whether it be sports or life. I think it's fascinating. I think it's interesting. And it's something that we've kind of lost as a society now, where if you disagree, it's just, all right, let's throw it out. Like, you know, I don't want to talk to you anymore. So yeah, that would definitely be one that comes to mind right off the top of my head.
Big Cat's with us. Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, you know, with what you guys do and when you're making picks and you're making picks throughout the week and you're going on Sports Advisors and, you know, with everyone on social media, like, if gambling and picking games were easy, then Penn National Gaming wouldn't be a company, right? There wouldn't be these huge casinos. How do you deal with that's what you do and you're putting yourself out there, and then you've got idiots, I'm sure, every time you get something wrong who chirp you and tweet you, and I know that that's part of the fun and that's part of the interaction, but how do you deal with that versus realizing how hard it is to pick games?
Yeah, I think it's two things. One is I fully admit that I'm a terrible, terrible.
We all are. Everyone is.
Yeah, I'm a loser for life, and so I gamble because it's entertainment. I like to do it. I like to talk about spreads. I like to watch games with my friends and have some money on the line. Like that's fun for me. That is my entertainment. That's my escape, and that's what it should be looked at. Not like when we're saying Mortal Lock or the Can't Lose Parlay, it's very tongue in cheek, and I think that admitting that and people understanding that aspect of it, I actually think that Barstool, like, Dave and I are probably the only people who really discuss gambling in that fashion where we're poking fun of it, but we're also fully admitting, like, we're terrible at this. So we're not going to pretend that we're good at it. And the other thing is, I think it's just genuine. Like, when Penn bought us and it was a seamless, relationship that got built between the two companies, but Dave and I have been gambling all of our lives, and I genuinely enjoy it. I think it would be totally different if we weren't gamblers and we were trying to get people to do something that we don't do ourselves, but we genuinely do enjoy it. We genuinely enjoy what comes with gambling, talking about the games, the bad beats, the good, great wins. So that makes it feel natural to me. So when people complain, I just am like, obviously I don't want to lose. I'm not trying to lose. I want to win. I'm gambling my own money, but I am going to lose more than I win because that's what happens when you gamble.
What are some of the guests or some of the white whales that you'd like to have on the show? Is there anyone in sports or entertainment, or has there been anyone over the last year or so that you think about that you weren't really sure about and they ended up being just an unbelievable guest, ended up knocking your socks off when you didn't expect it?
Yeah, I think we still have Kevin Durant, Aaron Rodgers. Both those guys are circled as guys we would love to interview, love to have in the studio. Because that's the other thing, is it's been a little bit more difficult now. Well, it's easier, but it's more difficult. It's a very weird thing that's happened where it's easier to get guests because everyone has Zoom, but it's harder to connect with guests because you're on Zoom. And there's nothing that can replace an in-person interview. Like, we did an interview with Kevin Love in August, which I thought was very, very good. It was like a two-hour interview.
Yeah.
We went out to the Hamptons where he had a house and sat with him for a very long time, for basically an entire afternoon. And we walked away saying that, like, we miss talking to people in person, because that really truly is kind of the thing that gets me going the most, is sitting down and having a fun conversation with someone in person and, you know, reading their body language and knowing when to, you know, maybe bust a little bit or step back a little bit or ask a follow-up question. So that is what I'm really looking forward to when this all ends. But I'm trying to think, someone who has surprised me. I mean, Kevin Love was fantastic.
Or someone that you didn't necessarily know a ton about.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to go through like the catalog real quick in my.
Did you ever think you'd have interviewed Bethany Frankel?
Oh yes, that's a great one. No, so yes, I did because I'm a huge Real Housewives fan. But yes, so Bethany Frankel. That's a good. Thank you for jogging my memory. PFD didn't know who she was because he doesn't watch Real Housewives. I was like, listen, we got to get her on. She's a big deal. She's a crossover person where there's a lot of people who don't know who, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know who we are, who know who she is. So they would love to hear this in a different setting. But I came out of that interview and I knew who she was, but I was like, I love her even more because she, that's
who
that's
she is.
And that's going back to my initial point of the guest buying in. She bought in all the way. And when your guest buys it all the way, it just makes it so much fun.
What do you make of the football restart, the college restart, especially the Big Ten got going last weekend? It was, you know, fun to see Friday night football. The Big Ten kind of gets to the party half drunk, I guess. Are we going to make it through a full college football season, or are you worried that these positive tests are going to keep coming? And just the amount of infrastructure it takes for a college team to move around the country and play games. What's your level of confidence that this thing's going to happen all the way through, Dan?
I think it's going to happen all the way through. I think there's going to be a lot more hiccups. The Big Ten is in a world of hurt, and so is the Pac-12, because they totally screwed this up. I mean, you can see what's happening with the SEC. Like, Florida had COVID positives, and they basically had 3 weeks off. They got it fixed. They're going to be back out there, I think, this weekend. Wisconsin, my alma mater, had a COVID positives. They canceled the game against Nebraska. There is no room in the schedule to make that game up. So they have basically eliminated themselves. Not they were going to make it to the college football playoff, but they've eliminated themselves and everyone that was on their schedule from the college football playoff because they won't get the, you know, requisite number of games that as of right now they say you need to play. So the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are absolutely idiotic. They completely screwed this up. They thought that they were going to be followed by every other conference. They totally misread the room. They didn't realize that the way to go, and this goes for the NFL too, is to have those built-in bye weeks. I don't know why the NFL didn't have a built-in bye week in the middle of the season as almost like a cleanup week. But I am optimistic that the season will come to a conclusion, that we'll play the full season. I also will never, ever, ever blame any of these kids for getting coronavirus, because at the end of the day, it's all such a scam that the colleges, because they want their money, have sent all the kids back to college campuses and then tell the kids to don't party, wear a mask, don't hang out with friends. You're saying that to 18 to 22-year-olds. I'm 35. I have a little bit more sense in my head. But if you put me back on a college campus as a 21-year-old, I'd be going out every single night. And that's just reality. Like, that's just reality. That's, you want to call me a bad person, that's fine. I probably was a bad person when I was 21 years old. We kind of all were. We all were trying to figure it out and very selfish. So I hate that idea that we're blaming any kids for getting positive tests when they've been put on a campus, not a bubble, with very like, you know, with a bunch of the general population and kids that want to party because they're kids.
Yeah, we thought that we were like, you know, being real health conscious because we had a water cup on the beer pong table, the same one for like 7 hours, right?
right.
Like put it in the water. Put it in the water cup.
Right. I like think about like, oh man, would I have taken this seriously? And then I'm like, well,
no chance.
There was a phase where I was like beer bonging whiskey, so I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say that's probably a no. So yeah, I mean, kids are gonna be kids, and I think it's very disingenuous for anyone who's outside of that college environment to shame kids and say that they would be any different. Maybe they can say that, but then they were just losers in college and like, who cares?
Yeah. Like I remember at the beginning of this, it's March and people, you know, the social media police are on Twitter just so flabbergasted that kids were at spring break in Florida. And like, that was when we didn't even know, you know, 1% of what we know now. And then, hell yeah, if I had been planning that trip for however many months, there's no chance I would have even considered changing my plans. And stuff was still open then. So I think that the reaction and the outrage is sometimes worse than the people and the intentions of the people doing the actual act.
Right. And I, you know, like I've taken it very seriously. I wear a mask all the time. Yeah. I've been out of the state of New York like only a handful of times. They've all been like private travel for work. So it's like, I'm not going anywhere, but
I don't fly commercial.
Right. Well, yeah, that sounded very terrible. But I haven't gone for like pleasure anywhere. I haven't been like, oh, I'm just going to go take a trip and hang out and like enjoy myself and take a vacation. I haven't taken a vacation, but again, if I were 21 years old, I would have a different outlook. And anyone who thinks differently, like, you're just being disingenuous about the entire thing.
Okay, that's a great point. I want to end then with this, because we talked at the end of last week, and I want you to give folks an idea of, like, what the last week has been like, what your schedule is kind of like, because we see all of the content and we follow along on social media, but the actual mechanics of it. So the end of last week, you were getting ready to film a bunch of stuff for the weekend, film advisors, head to Rough and Rowdy. Kind of what have the last 7 days been like?
Okay, so last Thursday, we taped the Pro Football Show. I do a couple hours of radio. We do the rundown. I do part of my take. Friday morning, got on a plane, went to West Virginia, did Rough and Rowdy, called the fights. Friday night around midnight, we got back on the plane. We went to Philadelphia for Saturday, watching games for, you know, doing promotion for the sportsbook app. I got home around 5-6 o'clock on Saturday, got to hang out with my son for a couple hours. Same on Sunday morning. Then I was back in work from about noon. We go noon till about 2 a.m. on Sundays. And then Monday, it's kind of a reset day. And then back into it where it's like, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're taping Pardon My Take. Wednesdays, we're doing Barstool Sports Advisors, Pick'em, College Football Show. Wednesdays are an absolute disaster. So yeah, it's a lot, but again, I love it. I love my job, and I love talking about football, watching football, trying to figure out who's going to win the games. It's my favorite time of the year. Like, it really is. As crazy as the schedule is, I wouldn't trade October, November for any other month when it comes to the calendar.
Yeah, when you said you weren't traveling for pleasure, you did get to go to West Virginia, so, you know, anytime you can drop into the great state of West Virginia and watch a bunch of big Hoosiers beat each other up, there's a little sliver of pleasure in there.
Yeah, I had some fun. I mean, my life is very fun. I will absolutely cop to that.
Big Cat, appreciated, man. Give us your favorite pick of the weekend. The can't lock guarantee on your life. Ooh. This is an absolute winner. Tweet me if I'm wrong, but I'm not going to be wrong. Pick.
I think it's Duke -9.5 is my mortal lock on all the shows. I'm trying to do better, where I caught myself a couple weeks where I had like 6 different mortal locks on 6 different shows. So Duke -9.5 is my mortal lock on both my college football podcast and the college football show. So that's what I'm going to stick with. I like that against Charlotte. I think it's Saturday afternoon, maybe Saturday evening. So go with that.
Big K, you're the best, man. Keep it up. Enjoying following along and following the fun, and we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks so much, man.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris.
Dan Katz, Big Cat, joining us on the program from Barstool Sports. Always enjoy our chats with Dan. We'll take a break, come back. Ben Heisler, going to join me next on this Football Friday edition of the Chris Raby Show. Back in a moment on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Schnucks Rewards, one more reason to love Schnucks. Get the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards. The Schnucks Rewards app allows you to earn points every time you shop for money off your next purchase. But there's so much more in the app to simplify shopping. For instance, you can get exclusive digital savings, including over 100 new digital coupons every week. The shopping list helps keep you organized. Add items on the go, plus you can share it. Recipes in the app make meal planning easy. Search for recipes by ingredients and add them to your shopping list. Go to schnucks.com and check out more about the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards, the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it on the App Store or Google Play. The Schnucks Rewards app rewards you for shopping at Schnucks. All right, it's Friday, and we say hello to Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated. SI.com/fantasy, SI.com/gambling is where you can find the work of Ben and the great team at Sports Illustrated. And Heisler, you know, we talked Indiana football last week. We talked Indiana and Missouri football slash basketball. And then what a win, what a comeback, what a game. The Hoosiers with maybe the most exciting football game or the most exciting comeback with a lot of different things thrown into the pot and a lot of things that went into that last weekend.
Yeah, that was, it was funny, Chris. I was actually thinking about how we were discussing, you and me, that Indiana football and Missouri football are kind of like the former San Diego Chargers, LA Chargers, and maybe to a certain extent the Atlanta Falcons of this year, is that they've always found these bizarre ways to lose games. And you just feel like you're Sisyphus pushing the boulder constantly up the mountain, and then just eventually, once you think you're at the top, the boulder falls all the way back down and you have to start from scratch. And Missouri with an amazing win earlier this year against LSU. You have Indiana with Michael Penix reaching across the goal line just by by inches to be able to get that football across. And sure enough, look at those two teams with massive wins over the course of the early part of the college football season. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, pretty incredible. And again, just
must be a 2020 thing, don't you think?
Yeah, like in this year, who knows what could happen next. Let's talk about this weekend, Ben. And, you know, again, I'll ask you the same question. Kind of how are you seeing at the college level with so much uncertainty? Vegas adjusts to the schedule week to week. Mizzou will get to play Florida now, but, you know, it seems like every day we're getting, you know, more reports of positive tests. And I know a lot of teams, including Mizzou and Eli Drinkwitz, have been having to prepare for multiple opponents. So that certainly affects things from a line standpoint when the odds makers don't even know with certainty what the schedules are going to be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, a little bit of information coming in is that we've seen the line move from 12.5 on the Florida side to as high as 13.5, according to some books. And it's actually gone back down in a lot of different books, back down to 12.5. And I think that's an indication of a bit of sharp money coming in on Missouri. I think it just goes to show you, Chris, that yes, there's a combination of a wide variety of factors, but odds makers are still just having a difficult time handicapping the season. There's constant movement over the course of the week. You're seeing a lot of massive moves in one direction and then slowly back towards another, whether the public is jumping all over it, whether it's sharp money. It's just very difficult to handicap at this point. And that's why, to be perfectly honest, you know, I've stayed away from a lot of the college football picks this year. It just feels like because there's so much unknown and so much uncertainty, you know, we had a lot of really good information on Colorado State yesterday, and Fresno State took it to them. And it's just a reflection of sometimes you think you might have some really good information and it comes back to bite you because the information wasn't as sharp as you initially thought it was. And yeah, that's going to happen in really all sports, but especially college with so much uncertainty week to week. You know, at least from a betting perspective, it's been a little bit more difficult this year.
Yeah, a number of outright upsets that we've seen, especially with it seems like some primetime games where maybe there would be steam moving on one team. We've just seen a lot of volatility and a lot of unpredictability. You're going to get that with 18, 19, 20-year-olds anyway, but then you throw into the
Absolutely.
Mix that you don't know what 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are even going to be playing or be available.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I'm looking at the Ohio State-Penn State matchup this week. And, you know, first inclination is that you have Ohio State, who's looked like one of the most dominant teams. But now they're going on the road. And you would think to yourself, okay, it's still an opportunity to go and play in an empty stadium. You don't have to worry about that. But I think Indiana kind of thrived on the fact of being home and not having to worry about letting down their fan base. And, you know, Penn State, if they got off to a slow start at home in Happy Valley after their loss to Indiana, you worry about potential boos from the stands. You worry about all the pressure there. And so even though there's been a lot of line movement in direction of Ohio State from -9.5 to upwards of -12, I almost wonder to a certain extent if playing at home can actually kind of be sort of a relaxed factor for a lot of these teams. You're not necessarily worried about trying to, you know, take from the energy of the crowd. You just play at home, you sleep in your own bed, and you feel a little bit more secure going into the game.
Let's hop over to the NFL with Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated, si.com/gambling, si.com/fantasy. And you guys covered on the Sports Illustrated Fantasy Podcast, Le'Veon Bell and the Chiefs taking on the Jets. And maybe some revenge factor for Bell against Adam Gase, the Jets head coach in that organization. Do you take personal motivation like that into account, whether it be DFS or personal or individual player props, perhaps, Ben? And is this a case where you should take that into account, or does that stuff get overblown sometimes?
It might get overblown on occasion. Like if you're sort of a wide receiver four and you're going and facing off against your old team, and the player will certainly be motivated, but, you know, is that necessarily going to factor into the game plan? I think it sort of depends. In this particular situation, I think you have two players that are in terrific revenge spot opportunities. Le'Veon Bell, certainly the most notable of the two. I think Melvin Gordon of Denver going up against the Chargers is another. But think of all the animosity that happened between Le'Veon Bell and the New York Jets. He goes, he gets his money that he had earned. The Jets had signed him. And, you know, then they bring in Adam Gase. And so it's a reflection not necessarily of Gase going to be there, but he didn't really want Le'Veon Bell. And despite the fact that he was already there, he just turned it into a very bad relationship. There was a lot of animosity there. And Bell, for, you know, throughout his time, was a good soldier and put up with a lot of crap. And the Jets, as a result of Adam Gase being there, have not turned into any sort of team that their fans would have anticipated. Bell gets outright released. He goes to a winning culture in Kansas City. And the fact is, Chris, the Chiefs are favored by 19.5 points in this game at home. So I think that allows the revenge factor to have even more cadence here because of the fact that they're supposed to win this game. They're likely going to win this game by a wide margin. It gives Andy Reid the opportunity to go to Le'Veon Bell once they've built up a comfortable lead and say, you know what, go ahead and just run all over these guys. Go and dominate them. If there's red zone carries, you know, maybe we'll take out the rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire and give you that opportunity to score a touchdown. So I basically look at it as a lock. I haven't looked at a lot of the sportsbook prices yet as far as what the prop is for Le'Veon Bell to score a touchdown. Heck, Chris, I might even consider, you know, laying it if there's opportunities to bet him to score multiple touchdowns. That's how good Le'Veon Bell is with this situation. That's how well this game dictates to him getting into the end zone. And also it's a reflection of how bad the New York Jets are. So I like Le'Veon Bell quite a bit this week, whether it be in DFS, season-long props. And I also think Melvin Gordon will get an opportunity to score a touchdown against his former team for Denver as well.
Yeah, and Ben, we always ask you this. Let's wrap up, and I'll ask you another game that you've got your eye on in the NFL. I have a couple of good matchups, but from a DFS standpoint or a wagering standpoint, is there a matchup that you're particularly intrigued by, you're going to be monitoring, or you're going to be all over?
Yeah, there's a few games, and we've actually seen a lot of line movement heading in the opposite directions compared to what we've seen of most weeks. We've seen some major totals start to move down, you know, upwards of about 4 or 5 points. One of those games was Las Vegas going to Cleveland, which should have been a track meet, but you're going to get 20 to 30 mile per hour swirling winds in Cleveland this week. That's going to play a factor, especially in getting guys the ball in a passing game. But I still think there's plenty of fantasy goodness in that game. I still think Henry Ruggs is going to have an opportunity to get the ball in space. He's one of my favorite low ownership DFS plays for the week. I think Tennessee and Cincinnati is an outstanding matchup. From the offensive side of the ball, Derrick Henry should run wild. Jonnu Smith gets a matchup against the Bengals, where they have allowed the second most yards to tight ends this year. And then the one other one to kind of keep your eye on that I think might be a little bit sneaky, because I know a lot of folks are going to want to play Packers and Vikings this week. And I would actually advise maybe against that, with the exception of the running backs. You have 20-degree temperatures in Green Bay, 40-mile-per-hour winds. You know, listen, Aaron Rodgers could probably throw a perfect deep ball to Davante Adams in the middle of a hurricane. You know, I wouldn't doubt that for a second. But, you know, everybody else, I think, is going to, you know, lose out on those type of winds and temperature. But let me give you a bit of a sneaky stack here. I think the Colts and the Lions actually have a chance to play up to a pretty high scoring game. You have an opportunity with Matthew Stafford, who had a great come from behind win against Atlanta last week, really started to get the passing game going, through for over 300 yards. Colts defense has been really good, but I do think they are susceptible in the passing game. And I think somebody like Stafford, with Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, who's gotten loose, TJ Hockenson, who caught the game winning touchdown, I think they're going to have to pass to compete. And then the other side, I think you can run it back with somebody like Jonathan Taylor, who is finally in an advantageous spot, despite the fact that he was somebody that so many of us, Chris, drafted early in our leagues. If you're looking at him from a daily fantasy perspective, he's fairly reasonably priced. He's $6,600 on DraftKings. He gets the Lions defense that's given up about 114 yards per game. They have been bad against the run, and they play pretty much stay in the same defense all throughout the game. So the Colts are favorites on the road here, which likely leads to a positive game script for Jonathan Taylor. This should be his breakout game this week, and I think because of it, Stafford and the Lions are going to have to throw to keep up, and it leads to fantasy points on both sides.
I like that, a little Colts-Lions stack. Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated, again, si.com/fantasy, si.com/gambling. Ben, give us, before you go, again, just an idea of what folks can get if they go over to si.com and sign up for the member service on the site, and some of the great premium content that they're going to get from you guys on both the fantasy and the gambling side.
So what's nice is that we've sort of we've divvied it up into two different sections, right? So SI Fantasy Plus is strictly season-long fantasy content. So if you need personalized rankings that are dictated to your scoring system within your own league, because people look at ratings and they'll try and figure out, okay, like, where does my guy stack up if I'm in a league that has two quarterbacks or a super flex or 6-point touchdowns? You can't always find that. So you can actually personalize the rankings to the style of your league, along with just further in-depth content, insider rankings. That's over at SI Fantasy Plus. SI Fantasy Pro members, when they go to si.com/gambling, will not only get betting information, picks and information from our Vegas insider, Frankie Tadeo, as well as our UFC insider, Casey Olson, he's a freak, Chris. Like, he's picking UFC matches at 72% over the last calendar year.
Ooh.
It's insane. I don't follow UFC, but trust me, I now bet UFC because of our handicapper, Casey Olson. So all those picks are included. It's less than $20 a month. And the SI Pro membership also includes exclusive DFS content. So further rankings there as well. Information on different DraftKings and FanDuel slates. Sean Childs, who's one of the best high-stakes fantasy players in the world, does those rankings for us. We also have a DFS optimizer. So that's all available as well at si.com/gambling. That's part of the SI Fantasy Pro membership. So you have SI Fantasy Plus. That's for season-long exclusively. And then SI Fantasy Pro, which includes both DFS and betting information, and that is less than $20 a month.
Ben Heisler, Sports Illustrated. Head on over and sign up and enjoy this weekend and the rest of the football season. Ben, we'll talk next Friday. Thanks so much, Heisler.
You got it, Chris.
Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. That's it for us on a Friday and another week in the books on the Chris Raby Show. Subscribe to the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review. Hit me with the screenshot on Twitter for a chance to win some Danny Mac swag, some Scoops swag. We'll talk to you next week on Monday. Again, a big thanks to Big Cat, Dan Katz from Barstool, and a big thanks to Ben Heisler. Another week in the books. Happy Halloween. I'm Chris Raby. Until Monday, be nice to each other, and as always, peace. Guess you got everything.